Right now, we've had a few sickies this week, so those who were going to lead were not able to, their sickies, so thanks to the musos. Yes, thank you, great job. Yeah, right. Oh, and you too, Warwick, yeah. Yeah, we haven't forgotten you, Warwick. We haven't forgotten you. Yeah. Now, how easy to sing. Build your church. How easy to sing. We are the hope. Have a look at us. We are the hope. We have the hope. But there are probably five times the number of disciples here. Like this little group, 2, 4, 6... 8, 10, and a couple more. You're the disciples to tell the whole world about Jesus. Yeah, right. Let's have a look. Hopefully you grabbed one of these as you came in crossing the street, which has been our theme, as Dion said, for this month, the theme of Baptist Mission, crossing the street. And here we've got a little guy walking along holding, I believe, the hand of God, which would be good for all of us. On the back, there's a little comic, however, of a couple of people having a coffee or a tea and their neighbours walking past with a sign saying, "You're going to hell." And they say to each other, "Looks like the born-again neighbours are instructing us in theology." That's out. We're not talking that way. We're talking person to person crossing the street, not holding a banner. So let's have a closer look at some of these things. Crossing the street. Just last week on The Drum, if any of you watched that on the ABC, Sister Joan Chichester was there, a nun, and she said that in the 60s, the Vatican said 99% of the church is actually laity. And this was revolutionary in the Catholic Church because the hierarchy, the priesthood and everyone else had been seen as being so important. But the Pope of the day said, "Listen to the laity, because 99% of our church is made up of the laity." Now, really what he's talking about are people who have not had theological training in that situation. And she was jumping up and down, this nun, saying, "We need to listen to that." And for all of us, and I put myself in that position, although I've done some training, we all need to say, we're the laity, we're the grassroots. And I think the election last weekend said, listen, politicians, to the grassroots, because we're not talking to political parties now. And in a way, that's what Jesus has been saying all along. Grassroots, that's where the church moves. That's where the message of Jesus is shared. And I think that's what mission's been trying to get back to, and just simply say, let's grasp and let's cross the street and let's just be normal. Just be people like Michael in his situation. Now, we're not all in the hospital. Thomas heading off. We're not all into IT. Daniel at Bunnings, we're not all there to talk to people, but we're all in different situations. So let's cross the street. And I've got there our Bible reading, a words of affirmation and of faith. We just need to grasp that with two hands. Stop. Affirm your faith. And on our sheet I've got, the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When someone knocks on your door and says, "You've got it wrong," and they'll show you their Bible, the word was a God. You know, Jesus is just one of others. No, we don't believe that. We don't believe he is just one with any other God. He is the God. So then go and grab your Greek New Testament and bring it out and show them. It's a definite article. The God. Yes, that's where we stand. And then we come to verse 12. All who received him, all who received Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. To all who believe, we can be Christians. That's the message we've got. Here is Jesus, God, and our message is if you believe in him, then you are saved. What a great message we've got, and what a challenge we've got to bring to the world. And then I've got there 1 John 1:9. There is forgiveness. Friends, we need to forgive ourselves as well. There are a lot of people who walk around unforgiven, knowing they're forgiven by God but not forgiving themselves. How arrogant that is. If God's forgiven us, why haven't we forgiven ourselves? We need to grasp that. And we need, of course, to know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, not to condemn, but to save the world. Aren't they wonderful words? Wonderful words. That's why we're here. We're the church that's understood that. How fantastic. Forgiven. And then verse 16, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Sort of explained by some people as just watching the water, watching the ocean, as waves come in, a wave, another wave, another wave, another wave. That's the grace of God. Undeserved, unmerited, but just constantly coming. The grace of God. How incredible. Forgiveness, grace, love, all of these things to a world that seems to just cry out. So in your notes you'll see stop. Stop is written in red like a stop traffic light. Affirm your faith. Let's all affirm our faith. We're not perfect, I've said, not theologians, but we know Jesus. We don't need to know some of the stuff that some of us have learnt in college. Who wrote this and in the Greek and in the Hebrew and in the whatever else it was written in. People don't want to know all of that stuff. They just want to know about the love of God. Now, it's helpful for those who want to study, but otherwise, we just need to tell people about the love of Jesus. How important. So we need to stop, almost like the hand of God saying, stop and think and reaffirm, pardon me, where we are at. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who stop and never move, and that's dangerous. I mean, it would be rather stupid, wouldn't it, to be standing waiting for the lights to change, and they go red, green, back to yellow, and you're just standing there. Why are you standing there? Well, actually, I was going to cross the road. Well, the lights have changed a number of times. We're Christians, so we need to be ready to move. And then we need to ask ourselves, do I really want the world to know about Jesus? And if I do, how are they going to know about Jesus if I'm not going to tell them? And God gives that confidence for us to move. Now, the second thing is look. So we stop and then we look. And you know what that's like. And as someone has said, witnessing is simply having a good look at Jesus and then telling other people what you've seen. becomes important that we keep looking at Jesus. Often people take their eyes off Jesus. And as Dion said this morning, we can compare ourselves. And I've got there. The message last week reminded us, you know, if you're a finger, don't be envious of wanting to be a big toe. Be happy you're a finger. Be happy you're part of the body in whatever quality God has given you. Don't compare yourselves. Don't wish you were someone else. Be content with who you are and just live in the love of God. Just live for him. I am responsible for me. I'm not responsible for the person beside me. I am responsible for me. Now, if you're standing at the traffic lights, you just got your eyes on the traffic lights ready to move, or if you're driving a car, you're getting ready to take off when the lights change. But it could be that you're standing there and you're looking and you're thinking, well, that person's dressed, I think they're part of the legal profession, the way they're dressed, or, dear me, that person, it's actually winter, love, not summer. I don't think we stand there with our eyes shut, do we? We stand there with our eyes open, ready to see when the lights change to move. But at the same time, we might be hearing someone say, no, you can't have another lolly. Or you might be seeing how someone's dressed or agitated or someone's got a dog. We stand there with our eyes and ears open. And I think that's really very important at this stage. We look at neighbours. We take in what our neighbours perhaps are doing. We look at our friends at sport, what they're doing at work. We don't just treat everyone like you're number one, you're number two, you're number... We observe what people are doing so that we can minister effectively to who they are. So let's have a look around. Let's keep our eyes and ears open if we're serious about helping people become Christians. Because the only way we're going to do that is by knowing them. And then we can be prayerfully prepared and we can be ready to cross the street. And the last one is go. Walk across the street. And I've got there, be careful. Don't run. Just walk across the street, as it were. Because when you run, it's easier to slip. It's easier to fall. You just need to transfer what I'm saying to sharing with others. And sometimes we think, I've got to tell everyone in 5 minutes. But those of you who became Christians and started to tell everyone in 5 minutes, some of those people don't talk to you now. And it's not because of the message. It was perhaps because of your inappropriateness or mine. So let's take the amber. Let's listen. Let's look. And then minister appropriately to people. And can I say, going doesn't mean active. For some people, it's prayerful. For some people, it's giving. For some people, it's just being aware. How amazing. And then in verse 14, this was Jesus. The Word became flesh and lived with us, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. When our neighbours look at us, or when our family look at us, do they say, oh, just full of grace and truth. I'm so glad they're in our family. Because aren't we glad Jesus is in our family? Full of grace and truth. So if we are representatives of his, Are we not meant to be grace and truth? Now, some people have got the truth, and you better believe it. Well, we don't want anything to do with them. And some people are so gracious and loving and, that we think, we don't want anything to do with this marshmallow either. So we need to balance that up. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. I think that's perhaps one of the hardest things, grace and truth and love, to fit those things together. But this was the model of Jesus, and I think we need to sometimes reflect upon that. And we don't do it from guilt. We don't witness or share with people from guilt. We do it because we love them and we want them to come into the kingdom. So we need to stop and reaffirm our faith and where we're at. We need to look around and observe and take in people so that we can minister effectively. And then we need to do something that is effective in ministering to people. Now, there's no one from this church in my book yet. But I have a book that I write different incidents in and about people and situations. And, hopefully for me to learn from. But one that I wrote in was about a lady in one of the churches I was in. And she said, "My family and I always had to move church because my parents always had strong views on theology and the dispensations, and when they had an argument, they moved church. My mother gives lots of money to mission, but is always dogmatic, unliving, unloving, and everyone else is wrong and she's the only one who's right. She thinks she has the responsibility to correct people, even if and in an unloving manner. So none of her grandchildren ever want to see her or contact her. So to get them to see her is impossible." And I wrote, "How sad. How good to have correct theology, but no one wants to be near you." So let's just check. Do people want to be near us? I don't mean all the time, but you know what I mean? We just need to, yes, we might have the answers. Yes, we have got Jesus. Yes, he is the only way. But there is also a way of showing that and reflecting that. Some years ago, we needed some tiles replaced in our bathroom. And the tiler came. And in my normal way, anyone who comes in, I'll say, "Hi, you know, you're a married bloke or in a relationship or something." And he said, "Oh, no, I'm married with a couple of kids." "All right, fine. What do you do?" People normally say to me. I'll say, "Oh, I'm minister of a church." "Oh, that's interesting. Do you go to church?" "Well..." And then he mentioned a church that was just not far from us. And he said, "You know, my wife and I decided when we had the kids that we should go back to church." So we went back to church. And he said, "We suddenly realised that there was a disagreement between the two ministers at the church. So if one minister was talking, part of his sermon was having a shot at someone, the other one, and vice versa." And he said, in the end, we said, "We don't need this. Let's not go." And he said, and we gave up on God. Sad. Very sad. I mean, that's responsibility to pastors, but it's responsibility to all of us. Because I think there are a number of people who are not part of church and maybe have given up on God because of some upset in church. And we need to check that we're not the cause of the upset. Now, when I arrived this morning, someone said to me, "Oh, the first sermon this month on crossing the road." I thought, I've got to do something. And so, very kindly, this lady over the road, there was a family who had had a baby, and she thought, I'll take a present across to that family. So she prayed and prayed and went across with a little gift and met the family and the baby. Crossing the road. That's all we need to do, just pray and then take the opportunity that God puts there. Let's not wear a badge. I knew someone who used to think that wearing Jesus Saves, a badge, and going on the tram in Melbourne every day, that that was a witness. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know whether he's saved at the National Bank. I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean to someone to read Jesus Saves on a badge? We need to have relationship with people. We need to move out to people, put ourselves out and talk to people. It becomes very important that we do those things. Now, at the start of the year, or for those of you who are around, we had these little cards. And on it, we put family, white dot, and then friends, and we went down and we put sports people and all the rest of it on there. So I hope you've still got that somewhere, and I hope you're still using that. We can't sing, we are your church, we pray. If we're not praying, what do we expect God to do? Send an earthquake of leaflets from heaven? Friends, somehow you and I have to be real about this. We're not just going to talk crossing the street and then say, oh, wasn't that a great motto for the month? That's the motto. That's our life. Now, you say, oh, that's easy for you. You're the minister, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've had an interesting incident, and just someone who lives very close, and in fact lives next door, and talking with him a couple of months ago, he said, I just said, you know, talking over the fence, how are things? And he said, oh, Mum's really crook, maybe won't live. Right. After he'd gone, I thought, Colin, you're praying for him. What have you done? No, righto. So, Colin, get in your head that next time you're talking... Right. How's your mum? No, she's still really bad. Oh, right. Off he goes, and I've still said nothing. How mad. But it so happens that in our house we have a bit of a rule that if Helen cooks dinner, I do the dishes and vice versa. And our kitchen window looks into the next door neighbour, and that's the guy. And so the third time he came along, I was yabbering to him and I said, oh, how are things? And he said, oh, no, Mum's still crook. I'll pray for her, I said. I thought that was a fair step. And he said, well, you can do something that I can't. Oh, that's not true, but anyhow, let's go that way. So that's all right. And I did pray for her, doing the dishes, looking out the window. And Mother's Day, just a couple of weeks ago, and I saw him after that, and I said, Mum's still alive for Mother's Day. Good to share it with her. He said, Colin, she drove herself here. Ah, interesting. I didn't say any more. Maybe I should have said something else. It's just as difficult for me as it probably is for everyone else to say anything to someone. But no good just praying without trying to take it on to the next step. Yeah. I don't know what you folks do. I mean, I've been going to the doctor for a long time, 15 years. He's in his late 40s. And I thought, what do I say to him? had it like, he's looked at all me and told me bits about himself that I've, you know, recorded. And so one day I just said to him, his name's Sam, I thought, Samuel, how are you? And he said, Samuel? No one calls me Samuel, except Mum. And I said, oh. I said, oh, he was a bit of a character in the Bible, Samuel. And he said, oh, she didn't get the name from the Bible. So I said, all right. I said, Samuel, when he was a little boy, heard the voice of God. Have you ever heard the voice of God, Sam? And he looked at me and I said, it's all right. It's similar to your wife's voice. And I mean, how... I just share these stories because, as I say, I find it as difficult. But what is the entry level with some people? Now, I've got no idea what he does with that. But I just sort of sow something. I've also said that I'd pray for his sons, and he thanked me for that, which I do. But, like, if we're seeing the doctor frequently, who's going to tell the doctor if we don't? How is the doctor going to hear if we trust him and we talk to him? Someone from heaven going to tell the doctor or the dentist? Geraldine? What? Well, we might quite get to life after death at the moment, but we'll just leave it where I am at the moment. I'm not as bold as you, Geraldine. But I'll just see. I don't need any more injections from him. But now, all I'm saying, friends, is we're all in this together, and if we've got the greatest message ever to share, I think we need to think of ways that we can do that, how we can do it, just in our own little circle of people. The Bible is full, New Testament and Old Testament, full of stories of individuals who did incredible things. And many of you would have missionary stories of incredible things. Men and women, particularly women, who have done incredible things as individuals for God, trusted God and stepped out. And I guess that's what crossing the street is all about, trusting God and just stepping out in faith with him. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we don't want to be people who carry signs like the comic strip. We want to be people who trust you to open our eyes by your Spirit. But you've given us a brain and you've given us your Spirit. And somehow we want to put those things together so that we might think about how we can minister to the people who are close to us, people who we love, people who we perhaps see on a constant level. Father, it seems stupid that we would leave that up to other people, and it seems very silly to us to think that we want the world to know Jesus, but actually step back from telling people. We know it's not easy. We know there's opposition, both spiritual and just the fear or concerns that we have. So, Father, give to us that boldness of spirit, the intellect and the thought, and the creativity to stop and to think. May we reaffirm our own faith and know where we stand. May we look around like the yellow light and just check the people around us. And then may we go. Not rush, but just quietly go to people who you place on our heart. So, Father, we bring those people before you now, and I thank you for those people who have been praying with those dots on that little card. For we expect things to happen because we're praying and you're involved. Father, through us as a church here at Lighthouse, bring people to yourself, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to stand.
Mm-hmm. Is that perhaps sometimes we need to be as little children. And I have found, I know at Craft, where I am helping a lady called Karen Fred Biggs.
Yeah.
The other day, Kate at Craft was overwhelmed by the number of parkers that the church had brought in. And she was ringing up people to try and get them to come and book or take them. And I came out and I saw them all. And I went back. And I do behave a lot like a little child.
Mm.
And all of a sudden to Kate, I said to her, do you realise that in the Bible it says that when we ask God for something, he overflows our cup and gives us so much more than what we ask. And I didn't have to think about it.
Hmm.
It just was kind. Straight away there.
Hmm.
And that's what happens when I think when we stay so close to Jesus. And it's not a case anymore of thinking about it. And I said again, do you know what I went and did? And I become sort of amused at how childlike
it can be. Yeah. Putting it in context, Kate, one of the ladies who's a teacher here on Thursday at Brighton Light, had heard that a number of the ladies, particularly from Ukraine, were obviously cold here in the climate, and if anyone had a coat or a jacket that they could bring along, would they do it? And the next week, that's what Janice was saying, the next week I think we had between 15 and 20 coats and jackets had come along, and that was her response, that if we ask, God provides. So let's keep asking about people to have contact with. But come, we, the people of God, let's stand and sing this great song.